Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
So will you be?
Love is in the air, and tonight we are talking about romance in part two of how we love during this Valentine's Day week. When we talk about all of the trappings of romance, we often talk about women. But tonight, we're talking to the fellas. Yes, indeed. The men are here. We're asking tonight, are they romantic or have they fallen down on the job when it comes to romantic expressions? How they can perhaps step up their game. My guests are Paul Bishay Williams, therapist and author of Dear Future Wife, A Man's Guide and a Woman's Reference to Healthy Relationships, and relationship coach Reginald Smith. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I suspect that the phone calls that we will get tonight are not from the people who are sitting at Valentine's dinner right now, fellas. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And, of course, don't forget you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Okay, so let me start with you, Paul, since you are new to the program. What's wrong with guys in romance? Why are so many men, when you mention the term romance, and more specifically Valentine's Day, you know, they get hives, or you know, they just bristle at that?
Yeah, I think there's a lack of communication. Expectations are set differently these days. We have too much access to social media, and they're comparing what they should do romantically to what's happening on social media, as opposed to paying attention to what's in front of them. So if we have a communication with our partners, we ask them, what do you like? And this is a small thing, so it doesn't have to be the grandiose big show, but if you're intentional on creating experience for your significant other, then it becomes easier to do. So it's less about the highs or less about like, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? But if you're paying attention in your relationship consistently, then Valentine's Day is an exclamation point as opposed to something different or a change in a relationship.
But let's talk about something even more foundational. Reginald, do you think that romance is in a man's DNA? I mean, I know when the women get together and they talk about, their vision boards over mimosas and and brunch. Right. Yeah, they do talk about some of these things that they want. Sure. Guys, not so much.
Yeah, I kind of think that it is more around if that emotional connection is there with your person. You know, there's some people who just do that because they feel if I do this, then it's going to get me something from it. But
like what, perhaps? What pray tell are you talking about?
You know, whatever their interest may be.
Yeah.
whatever that interest may be. But I do believe that paired and partnered with the right person, romance can be in one's DNA.
So where does a man learn to be romantic? And again, by extension, where does he develop an affinity for Valentine's Day? Okay, I confess, I'm a romantic. I've loved Valentine's Day since I was a kid, since we were giving out those little drugstore cards and little candy sweets. I'm an old softie, I admit it. But, you know, other guys, you're not raised to do that. You know, we're raised to do, you know, to be tough, to play football, basketball, not to cry, to stand up. Is that part of that?
That is part of that, but a lot of that gets lost. So you gave a good example of how when you were younger, when maybe your mother, your dad told you to take some candies to school, told you to take the little cars to school. So there's a glimpse of romance, but it transitions. So that romance needs to mature into partnership. So if you're continuing to do those things as you get older and older, think about prom, think about homecoming, all those things you do in high school, it's supposed to just mature. But we go through experiences that take that away, because sometimes you might give something to someone and then it gets rejected. And so now you keep it in your pocket. It says, I'm no longer doing those things. So it's a protection measure to stop you from getting hurt, being vulnerable. But we still have those things because we're creative. Men are hunters, right? We hunt. So we learn how to hunt creatively. So now we need to put it into perspective and saying that, okay, I like this person. I want to invest in this person. So how can I invest in this person and speak to their specific love language? Mm-hmm. You know, I've had couples come in and talk about flowers. A lady said, this is what I like. I like flowers. So all that man knew what to do was to do is to bring flowers, because they didn't have any communication around other things. So we need to constantly have these conversations, says, what does romance look like? I mean, it's all over. You know, you see TV, different things happen, and we need to get out of our ego and out of our heads and say, I can do those things too, but specifically to the person that I'm with.
What part does ego play in romance or lack thereof in men?
A big, huge part, because ego kind of dictates how you move. So if you're rejected, and sometimes when we do things for the response of it. We do things because we want to look good for our significant other, for everybody else to see. And then the ego is fed by the response of our partners. But if we can take that out and say it's not really about us, it's about making them happy, and that's it, and we're not really worried about the response for ourselves, but for them, and that creates a better relationship, then we are doing our jobs.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. On this Valentine's Day, we're talking to the men about romance. Have men fallen down on the job when it comes to romance? Why are some men just ready to reject it out of hand, and others really embrace it? I want to hear from the guys, or perhaps some of the ladies as well. Do you think that men are on point when it comes to romance? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Reg.
Yes, sir.
Paul mentioned flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My mother used to say, thanks for the flowers and, you know, the card and dinner. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
For sure.
What is the what else you got?
Right. It, you know, of course, you know, as I say, often varies to a person. But as Paul mentioned, mentioned earlier that it's about love languages. Right. So flowers may not be her language. You know, affirmation may be her language. Service could be her language.
You're talking
right?
about the love language.
The love language is
so
correct.
Should guys, if you have somebody that you really, really focusing on, that you're really, really feeling in the dating process, I mean, do you need to take the love language? Do you have to have the love language test taken? Do you need to have that conversation? Can you figure it out?
I think if that person becomes someone who matters to you, I think you can learn some of it through observation, perhaps, just in getting to know. But you can validate what you observe by a question and having conversations and communicating, right? Mm-hmm. Because it may look like something, and you don't want to say, your language is this. No, it seems like based on these examples that I have since getting to know you, this is what it appears your language could be. Mm-hmm. Am I off? Am I on? You know, am I close? Because it's an intentional thing. I encourage the persons I work with to not only know their own, but to pay attention and observe, like we're talking about now, mm-hmm. because it also is a way for you to know if this is someone if you're really compatible. You know, because if that thing that they're not getting, that you haven't paid attention to, that they need, they can become distant and or resistant to continuing to get to know you. Mm-hmm. If you don't have these conversations and ask and say, am I in the ballpark? So I think it's important for both parties who are getting to know to pay attention.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about men and romance on this Valentine's Day, part two of our two-part look at how we love during this Valentine's Day week. Let me talk to Bob. Is it Bob? That's right. Let's talk to Bob. Bob, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to just express the fact that I believe that for men in general, I just think that they don't like to be told how to express their feelings. So I think when you're going through different stages in your life, and when you're in a dating stage in your late teens and early 20s, you're constantly being told how to express love and feelings and when to celebrate a person and when to celebrate on that day and how to do it. You made a comment earlier that when you were younger, you could take some candy and everyone was happy just because you were just trying to make other individuals happy. And that smile and that card and things like that were just intrinsic for you just to want to make individuals happy. But now society has put so much pressure on individuals to say, you need a ring, you need dinner, you need a card, you need flowers, you need so many different things. And then another point, while you're going through your dating stages, you may not have been able to provide all of those things that society says that you need to do to have a successful day or to celebrate your mate, right? And so you feel like a failure. And then as you continue to move on, you begin to resent the day that society says you need to do all of these things and make it a perfect day, as opposed to saying, I just want to express how I feel to the person that I'm with and celebrate our day instead of someone telling you how you should celebrate each other.
Bob, thank you so much for that. So what about what Bob just said? Because, again, stereotypically, and there may be some truth to that, men and feelings are often like oil and water. I think historically, traditionally, that they may not necessarily, do that. I mean, he may have the object of his desire, and she says, "How do you feel?" And it's like, "I like you." Right. You know, right. I mean, that's all you get.
I think the problem is, Harold, that, you know, if we don't have an example or how something hasn't been modeled for us, we don't know how to do it. So we're kind of trying to figure it out as we go. But again, I go back to, your intent. If this person matters to you, if you want to get to know them, lean into that, because I think it's individuality. You can't to succumb to societal pressures is the first challenge, is the first mistake, because society is not in your relationship. You are. Society is not with your person. You are. And so the to be able to understand and differentiate what society is saying from what you desire, knowing what matters to you, I think is the first step. And if you miss that, then everything else becomes that much more amplified.
Paul, what do you think about Valentine's Day and the ritual that we see performed over and over today?
I don't see any problem with it. I don't give this doesn't determine how my relationship goes. You know, this is not the apology. This is not like we're on the 13th, we're not having a good day. The 14th, we're pretending like everything is okay. And then the 15th, we're back to arguing. And I think Valentine's Day is just, an exclamation point to your relationship. That's another day. Like, why don't we have excuses to celebrate our partners? Like, it shouldn't matter. We
but
shouldn't be offended.
But do you like it?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
You don't have a problem with
it.
That is not the answer that a sister wants to hear. Honey, do you like Valentine's Day? I don't have a problem with it.
Well, you're right. You're right. I do like it. I do, again, I like reasons to celebrate love. That's my whole thing. I want to see people in happy relationships with themselves and with others. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it's a bad thing to have a holiday that talks about love. Maybe that triggers something in someone that says, you know what, next year I'm going to do what I need to do for 364 days to build this relationship. So next time I'm here on Valentine's Day, that I'm going to have a great relationship and it's going to be fun. I'm going to have a significant other and we're going to celebrate the day together.
What about you, Reg? Do you like it? You don't care? Do you not have a problem with it?
Exactly. Right on the spot. No. I don't dislike Valentine's Day. I think
wow.
It is. No.
would you like another hamburger? Well, yeah, but I don't really want cheddar on it.
Sure, sure. No, I think, again, my contention has been, you know, Valentine's Day is definitely a day to celebrate if that's what the two people choose, if you choose to do. But again, it is not the only day. That's 364 other days. What were you doing prior to that?
Mm-hmm.
So that shouldn't be this big day. Let me go out and go all in and go all out and get these things and shower you with whatever that I think I'm supposed to shower you with. What was I doing the other 364 days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's my challenge. It's not about Valentine's Day being bad or good. It's about what happened outside of that time, that day, that one day of the year.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about men romance on this Valentine's Day. Stacy, real quick, what's on your mind? Stacy, are you there?
Oh, hey, Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm listening to the guys, and I swear, like, guys, like, you guys make this day so complicated, right? Like, all the reasons and all the, I just do something nice for the person if you like them. Like, for instance, I mentioned, like, 3 weeks ago to the guy that I'm dating, that I saw these miniature flower bushes in Giant Food Store. Now, I was putting that out there subliminally because I do believe that sometimes you have to teach people what you like. I don't think that you should assume that everybody knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of put that out there, and I said I wasn't going to really say anything. I was just going to see if he got me anything for Valentine's Day. And so he came over this morning, and I walked in the kitchen, and, like, there's just, like, my perfect little tiny rose bush. And he knows I like cards. I don't care what dictation is. If you give me a card and you write something personal to me, like, yeah. I love that.
Stacy, thank you. I appreciate it because you have made a point that I want to make after we come back from this break. I'm going to let you hold on because you need to hear what we have to say on the other side. So Greg calling from Maryland, Tim calling from Virginia, we're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the Original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in about 15 seconds.
Unfold your breath.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
So will you be?
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about men and romance. Have they fallen down on the job when it comes to romantic expressions? How can they step up their game? My guests are Paul Bache Williams. He's a therapist, author of the book Dear Future Wife, A Man's Guide and a Woman's Reference to Healthy Relationships. And, of course, we have relationship coach Reginald Smith. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We had Stacy on the phone, and Stacy said something about the guy that she was dating. She dropped a hint. And often guys don't get hints sometimes. Sometimes you got to knock us up upside the head. And I would say, Stacy, you've got a guy who's listening, who's paying attention, who is purposeful, who is focused. But why is it when it comes to those romantic emotional expressions, we still sometimes struggle with hearing what our significant others are trying to say?
So before we go to that, I want to talk about something that she initially said, that we were making it complicated. But I think one of the biggest things that we miss is communication, because if we were saying be intentional. So that takes away the complication. That takes away the guessing, right?
Absolutely.
If you're paying attention to your partner, you have that part of listening to what she said. Mm-hmm. If my significant other says, oh, I like these. So I'm going to pay attention to that because I'm listening. Mm-hmm. So the communication is there, whether it's a hint or a straight up, you know, sure, notion of this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about emotions with men, we always say that men aren't taught emotion, but that's not totally true. We're not taught a romantic emotion, mm-hmm, but we're taught to be passionate when it comes to sports. Wipe your tears, but be tough. Like, we're taught those different emotions, but not the ones that caters to a significant other. So with that situation, we just need to have more conversation and, like you said, more examples, mm-hmm, of what it looks like to really connect on a romantic level with a woman.
Right. Yes, and I think that when you have someone who is dropping hints, in addition to dropping hints, tell them. Because what she didn't disclose is how long they've been together.
Right.
Because if it's new, there's no way he could know. If they've been together some time, he still may not know because she may not have shared. And so dropping hints is kind of like, has your way worked? And if it isn't, try something else. Because if your goal is to have comprehension to occur, make sure that you communicate thoroughly and effectively, that your person hears you, and then expresses that they got what you're asking for, and then find out, get their buy-in if they're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Stacey, thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg, calling from Maryland. Greg, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Hi, good evening. I'm one of those 50-plus guys who's been married for 20 years, so that's why I'm not in a restaurant. I have time to stay and listen to y'all tonight.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of work. But I'm going to keep it real simple. I think romance has become complicated because if you look at it today, it seems like it's more about symbolism and not as much as substance. And it's also, I look at it from a generational standpoint. This is not to say anything negative about younger men, but I witness a lot of younger men not having a lot of trust with their partners and not willing to put in the sweat equity that's involved in and investing. Because really it's an investment. And a lot of them just throw in the towel early if you grew up and you saw your parents and other people express love one way, and today I don't see that. And that, like I said, that's not all younger people, but I witnessed a lot of it. And I just think that this younger generation they need to learn to trust one another and not look at it from a symbolic standpoint, but more of a substantive standpoint.
Okay, thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. Is it trust or is it impatience?
It's a lot of impatience. I always say it was a culture of quit because we have access to something. We have access to more. Like back in the day, we had to call. We had to wait till we got to school. We had to wait till we met someone. But you can just go online and find your answer, what you think is your answer, the next day, the next minute. You could be in an argument with your significant other and go online and see somebody happy or somebody looks good and it's like, you know what, let me send them a message. Or you see a happy relationship, which is a snapshot of a relationship, which is a picture. You say, you know what, I want that relationship. So let me leave what I'm dealing with right now, not knowing that relationship is work as well.
But Greg said he thinks it's more symbolic than substance. What's wrong with symbols of love?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, again, it depends on how you choose to love, how you show love, how you demonstrate love. That's the whole point of love languages, right? I hate to keep coming back to it, but we can't really leave it because it is a foundational. If your love language is whatever it may be, that is the symbol that gets demonstrated. That's the expression, or at least it could be or should be the effort made. Now, I was working with someone not long ago, and her language is affirmation. She was feeling that wasn't being met. She had the conversation because she and her friend are communicative. They have the tough discussions. And when they had that discussion, she pointed out to him, or he pointed out to her, that I am trying. And she says, well, you are. And he gave her tangible examples. How did he know that? Because she participated. The challenge was they weren't hitting like she wanted. And so that just means you have to work a little harder, dig a little deeper. Because when you tap into that language of your mate, I believe it is really the key that unlocks the lock to the gates opening, so to speak.
Tim, calling from Virginia. Tim, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Well, I agree with a couple of what your caller said. But back in the day, the mother and the father, you see them love. But when they break up and the kids is with the mother, the male is with the mother has to teach that young man how to love. Her expression of what love is, explain it to him. See, and I was like that. My mother taught me, and my mother always said, treat your woman the way you would treat me. Love her the way you will love me. Appreciate her the way you will appreciate me. And that's what I did.
How did it work for you?
Oh, it worked out fine. You know, I have no problem. We've been together for a long time. We love each other. I cook breakfast for her. On Valentine's Day, I'm working. So therefore we miss Valentine's Day. But I make it up the next day.
Right.
And I do certain things through the year, like I do the laundry. I cook. I clean and take some of that pressure off that woman so she can be more appreciated, have more time to herself. Like that.
See, that, Tim, thank you so much. And I think, you know, Tim makes a great, he makes a really, really great point as it relates to how substance and symbolism are really blended. I mean, obviously there is the substance of him doing these kinds of things and making breakfast. I hope he can cook, because if he can't, then that's a problem. But outside of that, but it is also, it is just not the deed that is done so that she doesn't have to do these things. But it is also symbolic, the actual act, his willingness to do these things is a symbol, a representation of how he expresses love.
Right. And hopefully that is the way that she responds to the love that he expresses.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
again, you can miss the mark, because the challenge is sometimes, oftentimes, we love as we want to be loved, not the way the person that we're in relationship needs to be. And so I hope for those two that he's actually hitting the mark with his wife or significant other.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to the guys tonight. We are talking about men, romance, and Valentine's Day. Let's go to Daquan. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Daquan,
yes,
yeah, go right ahead.
I feel as though, you know, just us as men, we lost our place value as far as with the women. You know, we just, you know, as far as just trying to love the women, you know, I feel as though we left the women hanging. You know, we fell into so many stereotypes as far as just, you know, being cheaters or being just leaving our women. Just, I feel as though, you know, us as a man, we need to stand up and we need to, you know, just show the women that, you know, we are in charge. We are the kings and we are the men that we claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know, honestly.
Well, thank you so much. Now, what about that? Because, again, that goes back to, I think, you know, standing up, being the kings, being a man to a woman. That's symbolic.
Right. Right. We talked about that earlier in the green room. We talked about how we need to value ourselves. And we value ourselves, our behavior changes towards other people, because we don't just share ourselves with every single person that's around. We take value in honesty, integrity, and intention with our significant others, because we just want to hold a certain standard for ourselves. We don't want to do anything that attaches us to the behavior that he was describing that wasn't healthy. So if we can have a healthy relationship with ourselves, we can know, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this, not just because I don't want to hurt you, but because I don't want to be the person that shows that type of behavior, that interacts like that, that does those things.
How can men step up their game as it relates to romantic expression? Let us assume that on this day and the other days of the year that she wants him to express himself in word or deed. How might he, where does he go for information? Where does he go to figure out how to express himself to her in a way that she likes, but also in a way that is comfortable for him?
That's a great question. I would say, hopefully, you know, that we have someone we admire and respect that may be our senior. It could be our peer or contemporary who is doing that, right, in his life or relationship. And we're like, man, how do you do that? Because we may not know how. It is not to attempt to replicate what he's doing, but it is like maybe I can borrow some of it and make it my own. And I think the effort to do so will be well received, because just –
when you express, we may miss, but that does not negate the intention. That does not negate my effort to express my love for you in the way that you want to be loved, right? So I think it's iterative. I really do. I believe if I'm trying, like the couple I mentioned to you a moment ago, they are trying. And as long as that effort happens, and we're not going to be perfect. We're going to miss. But I think the effort should not be neglected just because it was a miss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you consider the most romantic thing that you've ever done, Paul?
Let's see. A couple of different things. As far as
it's only an hour show,
right? But no, I think paying attention to someone, someone who wanted to cook. I mean, they like to cook, and so but they didn't really know how to cook. Mm-hmm. So what I did was create an experience. We went to an expensive. I think it was like Ruth Chris, but what we did was I hired someone to come in, create our own menu of the same things that she really liked, and then we learned how to cook it together. So that happened within the home. So it was intentional on what the things that she wanted to do, what she wanted to learn. In addition to that, it paid attention to the things that she really liked to eat.
Mm-hmm. That is a really good idea. I mean, let me write that down. that's a really good idea because a lot of guys struggle with creativity.
For sure.
And pre-internet and all of that other kind of stuff. You really had to dig for ideas, but now there's so many ideas that are all over the place, and I would hope that anything that he doesn't think of but he finds somewhere else that would not be seen as disingenuous.
Mm-hmm. Fair. That's fair. You would hope not. And the other thing about that, to your point, again, it's the effort, right? He could have done nothing. You're going to be wrong for that. So I'm wrong if I do nothing. I'm wrong if I try, because now it's disingenuous because you didn't perceive or believe it was an original thought or idea, or you had seen it somewhere else. Can I get the credit for the effort? Okay, I tried. I'm not creative. I'm telling you this. We're communicating, right? I'm not romantic. It may not be my thing. I think the thing we have to understand is there's some acceptance that has to occur as well of who we are as individuals. Because if you know your person and your person isn't this, to your point, if you were a man who says, I want a woman who can cook, well, she can't cook. So you have a choice. Do you accept her as she is, or do you be like, nah, you out of here because you can't cook?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Because yeah. she brings more to the equation than her inability to cook.
Right.
Right. So I think we are totally missing the bigger picture here, and that is, what effort is your person putting forth? What expression is he trying to demonstrate, hey, I dig you?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not just so the way that you thought it was, he's wrong? Come on now. Would you want to be held to that standard?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Mm. What's the most romantic thing that you've ever done?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask
me. As a matter of fact, I was giving you knew it was coming.
Oh,
I was trying to give you a little time to think about it. You know,
I'm transparent. I'm transparent with my clients. I'm transparent as a person, and so I don't. I'm not the most romantic person, but I will make the effort, right? And I would. I do have an example. I remember years ago when I was married, For Valentine's Day. No, I think it was birthday. I don't even think it was Valentine's. I think it was a birthday. I made it a weekend, right? I think Friday, we had gone to dinner when I got from, left work. I rented a hotel for the weekend. We had gone to dinner, and when I left work, I'd gone by a local flower shop and gotten rose petals. And I went to the hotel and asked them to keep them for me. So by the time we got there, got from dinner, I drew her bath. And so while she was in the bath, I spread the rose petals, from the bath to the bed, and did a little heart on the bed with the rose petals, had her lingerie laid out for her. That was a good night. and then the next day, I think we did a dinner cruise. And then the third day, we went to King's Dominion, spent the day there. Mm. So it was now. May not be romantic, but I thought it was all good ideas because I thought that's what she would like. And it turned out that she did appreciate those things at the time, right?
And see, I believe that, because not all romantic gestures necessarily have to be something that would be considered
traditional. Yes, the rose petals on the bed and the lingerie, that may be traditional, but you know, King's Dominion may bring up, you know, pleasant memories of youth and, you know, an effervescent and expressive childhood and all of that, which, you know, to make her, you, I mean, you're not that old, but still, you know, to feel young again. And, and I think that's why I say sometimes the, you know, romantic expressions don't necessarily have to be traditional, but I do think that they have to be creative. And I know a lot of women do want, they want efforts. They don't want it to be complicated, like Stacey said, but they do want, they do want you to be thoughtful. Mm-hmm. You know, they really do want you to be thoughtful. Let me go to Michael. Michael, calling from D.C. Michael, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I was just calling in, and, you know, I just wanted to say that Valentine's Day is not only for the man. It's for the woman to show her love also.
Okay.
You know, Valentine's Day really was never about showing love. I mean, if we go back in the history books of 1929, the massacre of Valentine's was nothing, even love, about love. I think a man should show their love and, you know, symbolically to their woman every day. You know what I mean? Right now, me and my honey, we get ready to go to Eagle Bank Arena and, you know, enjoy Babyface. And, you know, later on, I'm going to tell her, keep on whipping on me.
Nice.
Woo! Okay, well, Michael, I hope you have a really nice night, and you may need some Epsom salts in the morning. But thank you so much for your phone call. Suffice it to say, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago just happened to happen on that day. It was had nothing to do with, he's right, had nothing to do with Valentine's Day. I will say, and I'll you know, throw my hat in the ring, because I wasn't gonna leave you guys hanging.
Thank you,
but, yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
like I said to Paul, this is only an hour show, but I do remember when I was married, and it wasn't for Valentine's Day, it was an anniversary, and we went to a restaurant, but before we got there, actually the day before, I had gone down to the restaurant. I knew the owner of the restaurant and spoke to their people, and we had a multi-course dinner. Well, every other course came with a gift and something that, you know, that she liked or I thought may have been, you know, symbolic. And of course, the dessert was a tennis bracelet. And so, I'm not saying that to be, you know, to be bragging, because that was another job and another life. But but I will say that you don't have to spend a lot of money to be creative.
100%.
You really, really don't. Yeah. And sometimes, if you can write, if you are write something and then read it to her. I've always said, you know, if you love her, write it down and give it to her. Mm-hmm. And so that way she may never say, well, you know, how do you feel? And you can just say, well, remember, you have it in writing.
Yeah. Right. No, I think I agree with you. And actually, I want to go back to, I think her name was Stacy.
Yes. Stacy's the star of the show tonight.
Yeah, she had mentioned she likes cards. And I remember I was dating someone many years ago, and she was very similar, and she appreciated cards because it was the messaging. And she said, "You gave me the best cards because the cards were thoughtful. The cards spoke to her, right?" And I think it is, to your point about the reason I mentioned that or share that, is because you mentioned a moment ago the gifts don't have to be expensive. Mm-hmm. Cards are very easy. I'm gonna tell you, the words are powerful because you're speaking to her heart in her thoughts. It's not her physical being. Oh, I want to do this to you. It's like you're speaking to what you can't see with a card. Mm. And I think that's why they reach and cut. They reach so deeply.
Worst thing that a man can do on a day like this, Valentine's Day or any other sentimental day, whether it be an anniversary or a birthday, what's the worst thing that a guy can do?
Nothing, I guess.
Right.
I mean, that was the worst thing. Yeah, just act like the day isn't Valentine's Day, or just act like it's not the birthday. I think that's the worst thing to do. I think if you look at special holidays, if somebody really loves a holiday or whatever day it is, and then you purposely do something to sabotage that day, I think that's pretty...
What do you mean by that?
So, if somebody's birthday or something like that, and you just do something on their birthday that really ruins their day, if you do something to hurt them, you do, like, I don't know, cheating or whatever it is, but you just basically you ignore them, you do everything the opposite of what they really like. So you know somebody likes a certain type of thing on their birthday or on this day, and you intentionally and do the opposite or you forget. I think that's one of the worst things you do. It's just insensitive, and it's unfortunate when people do that.
Reginald?
Yeah. The worst thing you could do on Valentine's Day is a question.
Yeah.
Wow. We said forget.
We said
sabotage, be insensitive. I think if you're checked out, right? If you don't even acknowledge it, if you act like what's the big deal? It's just a day, right? You know, I love you 364 other days. Why is this one so special? That would be problematic if that day really matters to her or is significant to her, right?
And so another horrible thing to do is to stay in a place of that relationship when you know you don't want to be there.
Nah.
I think that's horrible. That's things that we do. And sometimes, a lot of times, us men, we stay in relationships that we really don't want to be there out of guilt. And we think we're, not hurting the person. We're actually hurting everyone. It's actually prolonging the hurt, which makes it worse. But if we can be and have a conversation, because Valentine's Day is coming up. So Valentine's Day is not a reason to stay in the relationship. You know, if you want to break up, if you don't want to be there, make that decision and follow through with it.
Mm-hmm. But don't break up on Valentine's Day, because that is also symbolic. I guarantee you,
that's not going to go well.
It's not going to go. You will be the dog of all dogs if you break up with a woman on Valentine's Day. You may have to wait until this is a leap year. We have a February 29th. Wait until the 29th.
But you knew on February 1st that you didn't want to be on the 14th.
You may have known on January 1st. You know, you may, if you're going to get it in before Valentine's Day, you better get it in January, which, you know, statistically speaking, you guys may know this, and January is a big month for divorce and separation.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's a brand new start to a new year. It's kind of like what do they call resolutions, right? Yeah. We resolve to do this. I'm not going into the new year, new decade with the same choices and mistakes I made in the past.
Also, March is as well, because people stay in, like, again, they stay in relationships because of the holidays. But now all the holidays are gone. March, what do you celebrate in March? Nothing. People stay
St.
for New Year's. But it's just like, that's party time. Like, I'm free. Let me go drink. people stay in relationships too long. Yeah. When they don't want to be there.
You know, we've often heard also just one of those statistics that romantic love for married people lasts only for about 2 years or so. Is that, and yet I've often heard women say, the thing that you did to get me is the thing that you need to do to keep me. Is that... an unreasonable statement.
You want to go?
You can take it. Okay. I have an opinion. But please share.
And I think we grow and we change and we evolve as people in relationships. So if I'm doing something the first year, and all of a sudden the second year, you no longer like that. And then you're used to it. You say, well, you always do that. Do something different. So now you're telling me that I'm supposed to be doing the same thing that I did to get you, but now we're transitioning because you're maturing, the relationship is maturing, people are growing and changing the relationship. We all have to adjust. So I think being intentional and paying attention is the same thing that we need to do. Courting and all that extra dating and paying attention.
What was that word?
Courting.
Courtship.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 41.
I like that word. You know, if you say courtship to somebody, they say, what, basketball court?
No,
please finish.
No, I just think of like continuing to pay attention to your significant other is the consistency that needs to happen to sustain a relationship.
I'll let you have the last word, Reginald.
Sure. I agree with Bashe.
there's a, you know, that which would once worked may not. It's kind of like priorities. That priorities are moving targets. So what was once important may no longer be, for whatever the reasons, is no longer important. Mm-hmm. Same thing with what I did to get you. I may not need to continue to do to keep you, because, to Bashe's point, you may have changed, evolved, and now you have a different care about, something else that matters to you. So let me see if I can be intentional and meet you there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So or even, you know, the thing I did to get you, I may not have to do to keep you, because you're just being good to her and she loves you.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, fellas, I think we learned quite a bit here, right?
It's been awesome.
Yeah. I want to thank, you know, both of you, Paul, Bashe Williams, and Reginald Smith. Thank you so much for talking to us. I want to wish you both a very happy Valentine's Day. And to everyone, this is Valentine's Day is tonight. Some of you may not come up for air until Monday, and I think that is a good thing.
Indeed.
And Monday's a holiday, too, right?
It is. Oh, so Tuesday.
See, really. There, how about that? Come up for air for just a little bit, everybody. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, February 14th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.
Unfold your breath.